I don't remember anything. I mean, people always complain of how she's a Mary Sue and that, like, she's just really good at everything all the time. But I guess in the novelization of the Force Awakens, it was revealed that when Kylo goes to search through her mind for the map, she, like, downloads all of his, like, skills.
Oh, wow.
So that's why she's so proficient at everything?
Huh.
But I was like, that doesn't come across either. I mean, you have to actually say that in a movie. You can't expect people to read the novelization. Because 9 times out of 10, they're not going to. And then you're just left wondering, well, why the fuck can she use a lightsaber like that?
Eh. I don't know.
There's a very interesting series on YouTube that this guy, he does like 6 minutes at a time of 12-minute chunks of the movie and everything that's wrong with it.
Okay.
And he brings up some really, really valid points where I was like, okay, I hadn't thought of that. Now that he said it, it really sounds stupid.
Dance, monkey, dance.
And welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
How you doing, John?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, I've had 2 weeks, man. So I have to apologize. We didn't have a show last week because of me. Because shit's falling apart at my house and I just didn't have time.
The joys of homeownership.
So, it all started a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. I have a dehumidifier under my house, and I think that we talked about when I installed it last year, of all the things that went wrong with installing it, like missing parts and having to go back and forth to Home Depot a bunch of times. So it was time to change the air filter on the front of it. So I grab an air filter and I climb under there and it's leaking again. It's leaking the exact same way it was leaking a year ago when it broke. So I'm like, well, fuck me. What the hell's going on with this? So I call the manufacturer and I said, look, I bought this thing last year. It's now leaking the exact same way. And so they start questioning everything about, well, how does it come out of the thing? Does it go into a trap? And is it a downward slope? And is it blah, blah, blah? And I said yes to all that. And then they said, is it dehumidifying under the house? And I said, no, it's 15% more humid than it should be down there. So he goes, okay, I'll send you a new one, blah, blah, blah. It'll come on Friday. You just need to send the old one back. And I said, okay, fine, that's whatever. So throughout the week, I started to prep the area so that the install would be rather quick. I'm making little trips to Home Depot and I'm making sure I have the right parts. And I decided that I was going to raise it up a little bit just to make sure that the downward slope was enough to get out of the house and all this other shit. So, the box comes on Friday. It's supposed to come on Friday. On Thursday, I come home from work, and it's been quite hot here. So, I look at the thermostat, and the thermostat for the house is at 80. And I was like, and I couldn't get it to be under 80. It wasn't until like 10 o'clock at night where it finally dipped back under. So I take a half day on Friday and I call an AC guy. And the AC guy comes, and he's looking around at the same time the dehumidifier shows up. So I go and I grab that, and I throw that in the garage. And he comes out, and he says, okay, I know what's wrong. He goes, your upstairs unit has a leak in the coil.
Okay.
So I said, okay. Here's the thing, though. Your unit's pretty old, and it uses a type of Freon that has been outlawed.
Great.
I'm like, of course it does. And he says, in order to fill that to make sure that it's got enough Freon in it, it's $100 a pound of Freon.
What?
Yeah, because the R22 Freon is extremely hard to get, apparently.
Okay.
So I say to him, well, what would it cost to replace the coil? And he goes, well, I'd have to try to call around and try to find one. Okay, well, let's find out if we can do that. And he goes, okay, but it's probably going to be pretty pricey. I said, just find out the information for me. So he calls around, and he comes back, and he says, all right, to replace the coil and install it, it's going to be $2,000.
Oh.
So I was like, for a system that is now obsolete, that if anything else breaks, I'm going to have to buy a brand new one anyway.
Right.
So he says, yes. So I said, just ballpark it for me. How long do you think I have before it just doesn't work anymore? Oh, well, I can't tell you that. Like, I can't make an estimate because I'm not really sure how big the leak is. I just know there's a leak, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to hold you to it. I just want to know. Nope, can't do it. So I'm like, well, fuck me. So I say to him, all right, well, I know that your company sells new AC units. Have somebody call me. Give them the information. Have somebody call me about what it would take to buy a new AC unit for up there. And he said, and he goes, well, yeah, I'd have to get that because I don't know the numbers. And I said, because if it's going to be like $20,000, like,
oof,
I'm going to have to just figure this out in a different way. And he goes, nah, they're never that expensive. I said, okay, well, you know, have your people call me. So he calls whoever, and he comes back, and he goes, there's a guy in the area. Would you like him to stop by? I said, sure, okay. So the sales guy comes over, and he's looking at everything, and we sit down at the kitchen table, and he goes, okay, so I'm going to show you four different units. I said, okay. He goes, this is the basic one if you want to just change out for exactly what you have now. I said, okay, $8,000, almost $9,000.
That's the basic?
Yeah.
Holy,
so,
okay.
So it's a single speed, blah, 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 da, blah, 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 blah. He goes, the one that you really should be looking at is this one. And he points to, it's like the deluxe one. And it's a two speed, whatever, with a dehumidifier in it and blah, blah, blah. And he says, I said, great, how much is that? He's like, $14,000.
Okay.
So I say, okay. And like the top of the line one is $22,000. Now, the guy outside told me that they're never that expensive. So I'm like, well, what the fuck is going on here? So
was the other guy still there when this one showed up?
No, oh, okay. He had left. So, okay. So they have this thing to where, like, you don't pay for the install, but you don't own the gear. It's like it's like leasing a car, but it's for an AC unit. And he's telling me about all these perks, and he goes, so which one do you think you'd be interested in? And I said, well, I mean, look, this was the last thing that I was expecting to do today. So I need to look at budgets. I need to talk to my wife about this. Like, $14,000 is a huge chunk of money to just sign on the dotted line for. I wish I had $14,000 that I could just throw at it and say, here you go. But I don't. So he looks at me with a dead in the face, and he says, should I go outside for 5 minutes so that you can discuss it with your wife? And I said, no, because I'm not making a decision today. And he looks at me and goes, well, what's the problem? Is it the cost of the, is it the program? Is it the cost of the gear? What is it? Because we can just do the basic one. And I said, I have to look at the budgets and I have to talk to my wife. And chances are I'm going to get somebody else to give me another estimate, because you were the first person here to do this only because the guy said that you were close.
Right.
I'm not making a decision today. So he says, fine, okay. And he gets up, packs his shit, and he's like, have a good weekend. And he walks out the front door. And I turned around to my wife and I was like, what the fuck just happened? Like, he really thought that I was going to make a $14,000 purchase after talking to you for 5 minutes.
No?
No.
Why not?
Because that's not the way that shit works.
Oh.
And anybody who would do that is fucking retarded. I'm sorry. Like, you need to get estimates. You need to have other people come out and price that shit. So that was Friday. So Saturday I wake up and I decide, okay, today's the day I'm going under the house to do the dehumidifier.
Yeah.
Going all the way back to that. So I drag the new one under the house and it's 55 pounds.
Wow.
And I have to get it under the house, and then when I get about 15 feet into the house, I have to get it up and over drain pipe.
Okay.
So I finally do that and I get it to where it needs to go, and I heave the other one off the blocks and I put the new one up. And I need to level the thing, the dehumidifier, up on the block so that it'll drain properly.
Right.
Can't find my level. Thought I had left it under the house. When I had like set everything else up with the tools and everything. Nope, can't find it. So I have to crawl my way all the way back out, and I decide that I'm going to take the old dehumidifier out and get all the suck out of the way up front.
Okay. Okay.
So I get it over and I get it out and into the garage, and I realize that I have probably stressed myself too far.
Okay.
And I'm sitting there and I start to feel nauseous, and I'm like, oh, fuck me. And I start to sweat. And I'm laying down on cold concrete, and I'm the only one home at this point. And I'm laying in the garage on the concrete floor, drinking water, like I'm about to pass out.
Oh my God.
So I let it pass. I go back under the house and I sit to repipe the drainage, hose thing.
Uh-huh.
And I start measuring it out, and I'm sitting there and I got my feet out in front of me. And I get it all together. And then, so because I'm about 50% sure I did it right, I call my dad and we're FaceTiming under the house.
Okay.
And I'm like, look at this. Do you think this is right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, thanks. Bye. And then I come to realize that where I'm sitting, I can no longer get out of the space because I have piped myself into a spot that I can no longer get out of.
Oh, God.
And I was like, son of a bitch, what do I do? So I'm shimmying under pipes, and I'm the only one at the house. So, like,
oh my God.
Even if anybody was there, they couldn't help me. And I'm like, oh, uh-huh. Fuck me. So it took about 15 minutes for me to squeeze my way out of where I was.
Uh-huh.
And crawl back out from under the house. And by this time, I'm pouring sweat and, like, I'm just done. So that was my week. My 2 weeks of, like, pure hell of being a homeowner.
The humidifier working now?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And the air conditioner? Still on hold?
So, yes. So the deal with the air conditioner is, since the day that it was 80 degrees in the house, it has kind of worked normally.
Okay.
I don't know why. Like, And we don't, like, we keep the house between 74 and 76. Okay. Just, you know, middle of the road, kind of like.
Yeah.
Not trying to freeze anybody out, whatever. So yep. It's been about 76 in the house. The upstairs in the summer tends to get a little bit warmer. So it went up to 78 today. So I can kind of deal with that, whatever. So I figure as long as it's working and it's doing what it's supposed to be doing, I have time to really do my homework and figure out what's the best move for replacing the unit upstairs.
Now, does your electric company offer anything? Rebates or something?
Not for the AC. They do it for hot water heaters.
Wow.
Yeah, I've already looked at that. You know, and I was talking to, we went for ice cream with some friends of my kid, and we're friends with the parents. Uh-huh. And he works, he's a maintenance guy at a an apartment complex.
Uh-huh.
So I'm telling him the story. And he's like, that sounds really expensive for what they're trying to sell you. He goes, it's the system downstairs is a ton and a half, or it's a ton and a half for the upstairs unit. We have two AC units.
Uh-huh.
One for downstairs, one for upstairs. So he said we have one and it's like 5 tons and we paid less than that.
Okay.
And I said, okay, well, who did you go through? And he gave me that name and he goes, tell you what, I've got some friends that I know at work that are AC guys. They can at least school you and put you in the right direction.
Okay.
He goes, maybe they would offer to do it for you, but I don't know that offhand, so I'm not going to make that promise.
Sure.
But they can at least talk you into the direction of where you need to go and what you need to watch out for. And I said, that's great, because I'm the least qualified person to buy an AC unit. I don't know anything about them. I didn't know they were in tons until the dude told me.
Right.
Like, that's just not something that I've ever thought about. So if I can get it. So the goal is we just redid the windows in the house.
Mm-hmm.
We just spent a ton of money for new windows. So while I'm paying that off, I would really like to avoid having to pay for a new AC unit as well.
Sure.
So we'll have the windows paid off by, I think it's February of next year.
Okay.
So if I can baby the system and not press it too hard and try to get it through until at least like October, November, when it gets cool again, then I can pay off the windows and then think about buying a new AC unit. So we're going to look at that as well.
Okay.
My other thought is, let me write the time down in case I want to cut this out. Is buying a home warranty.
Yeah.
And waiting 6 months and calling the home warranty company and saying, I think this needs to be replaced.
Okay.
They will send somebody out to look for the leak. At that point, what I was told is the beginning of the year, they will no longer allow that Freon to be sold.
Okay.
So they're going to have to replace it. So maybe I can get it for $500. The cost of the warranty. I don't know. I'd have to see.
You'd have to look into the details of the warranty and make sure that it's not limited by how old the system is and how long since you bought the policy is it, you know, eligible to be replaced.
Right, and that's all the stuff that I have to go through.
Yeah.
But it did kind of like hit me this morning. I was like, I wonder if that would work. Because, you know, whatever.
Yeah, well, it's a possibility.
So that's been my 2 weeks.
Okay.
It has sucked. So,
well, I'm sorry to hear that, but it sounds like you're moving in the right direction. And hey, you don't have a heat index of 111 tomorrow, so you know.
No, do you?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah, but your AC works fine.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. So far.
Well, okay. Let me see what my heat index is for tomorrow. Where do I find that? Weather.com?
Sure. I mean, they're probably not worried about heat indexes where you are yet.
Right.
What's the average temperature been in the past couple of weeks?
95.
Oh, well, maybe they are then. Okay.
But, I mean, right now it's 88 degrees outside, and, like, the feels like is still 88, so it's not...
Okay. Yeah, see, we have the problem with the humidity.
Yeah.
And when those easterly and westerly winds collide over the center of the state, then that's what makes it volatile.
Right. Well, and you get those massive thunderstorms every week, or every day.
Yes, almost every day, yes.
There's already chance of tropical development for a hurricane.
Ooh.
It's in the Pacific, but it's still there.
Yeah.
That doesn't bode well.
Global warming, I tell you.
Yep. Although not according to Pence. I don't know if you saw that interview over the weekend.
I read about it. I try to tune that out.
I don't.
And I'm them. Now at the point of like changing the radio station because I listen to NPR a lot.
Right.
But I just can't take all the political stuff. It's depressing.
Yeah, it definitely is. But for anybody who didn't see it, they had a CNN interview, or was it CNN, or was it?
I don't remember.
Whatever is State of the Union, like the Sunday morning show. And Pence was asked outright whether he felt global warming was a crisis, and he would not answer the question. He just kept saying, well, we're looking at the science of it. And it's like, motherfucker, you don't look at the science for anything.
Right.
Like, and he talked about, he pulled that bullshit of clean coal again, and it was like, there's no such fucking thing.
No, it's like, let's try to save another dying breed of, you know, instead of developing non-gas reliant vehicles, let's work on the Tesla and, you know, this magical engine that supposedly, does it burn water, or it creates water as a byproduct?
Yeah, it's like carbon dioxide or something.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
It water vapor is what comes out.
But, you know, let's not work on that.
Look, I'm sorry that there is a bunch of old guys in West Virginia that can't figure out anything else to do but mine for coal. Send these people to fucking school. And if they refuse to go, then they refuse to go. I'm sorry, but we have a program. If you're not willing to do it, then don't complain.
Sure.
Learn how to hook up fucking solar.
Or, you know what? Just die already. You've outlived your usefulness. It's time to go. Bye-bye.
Well, yeah. A lot of people would say that about people in the White House, too.
Well, yeah. They should die, too.
Well. So, yeah. Well, I'm sorry that it's going to be that hot. That kind of sucks.
Yeah, well, that's why I have a pool and air conditioning. So, yeah, there's that.
Wow.
Yeah.
So one thing I did do this weekend that was not directly related to something with my house.
Uh-huh.
Is I went and saw Toy Story 4.
Oh, you were one of the people who did.
Why?
Who spent their $118 million dollars.
Yes. Well,
which they said was disappointing.
To be fair, I went to a 9:30 a.m. showing, and it only cost me $15 for the tickets for the three of us. So
that's not bad.
No.
And what were your thoughts? I've heard quite a bit of chatter about this.
Can I do it? I'm trying to figure out if I can do it without spoiling anything.
What I've been told is it's a movie worth seeing. Mm-hmm. It's a movie that was totally unnecessary, and that everything peaked with the Toy Story 3. Toy Story 3 wrapped up this arc, and this movie feels like it's a just a tack on, just a money grab kind of thing.
I would kind of agree with all that.
Okay.
Trying to think of the way to say this. This is my least favorite of the Toy Story films.
Okay.
This film, what I get from having watched this film is that in some pitch meeting somewhere, somebody came up with a really good story for Woody.
Okay.
And had to figure out how to tell it within the world of Toy Story.
Mm.
My biggest gripe on the entire thing, well, I have two gripes, is most of the main characters that you've watched over the last 25 years are hardly in it.
Okay.
Including Buzz Lightyear. Like, Buzz Lightyear has very little to do in this film, and everybody behind him has even less to do.
Oh, okay.
This is first and foremost a movie about Woody.
Okay.
My other big problem with this film is that it felt like they took what people liked from Toy Story 3 and picked it up and moved it over to this movie and just changed some things. So as Toy Story 3 takes place primarily in a daycare, this takes primarily place in an antique shop.
Okay.
And there is one toy that is in charge of the antique shop.
And is that Gabby Gabby?
Yes. And she's got her minions that are watching out over the antique shop, very much like Lotso had in the daycare.
In the daycare. Okay.
And there are toys that are hiding, and there are toys that don't want anything to do with Gabby Gabby. And it looked like it looks like something we've seen before.
And it felt like, hey, let's just not put any effort into this.
It's very derivative of the other movies.
Okay.
And while they bring characters back that they had quote-unquote lost in the earlier films, and they gave screen time to those characters, this was not a Toy Story film.
Hmm.
This was a Woody film. And even the new characters, even the likes of Forky and Duke Kaboom and all them, don't really get a whole ton of screen time. Duke Kaboom doesn't show up until about the halfway point.
Okay.
And then he's only in it when they're in the antique store, which there's a part where they leave the antique store, but then they have to go back. And it's just like, it doesn't matter how incredible the shots are. And they've gotten to the point where they look like real toys in a real environment that are just walking around.
Okay.
It's an incredible feat, but the story has to reflect that. You know, a good special effect is nothing without a story. Good visual is nothing without its story. So I felt like they kind of jumped the shark, and it was very unnecessary. And you know, the shorts that they had done up to this point, and the TV specials, the Toys of Time Forgot, and the Toy Story of Terror, those were self-contained little stories where everybody got a chance to shine, and everybody was like in on the action and stuff, and this just was not that.
Now, I had heard people saying that it kind of felt that same way.
Yeah, and I don't know. I know for all the shit that he's gotten, I don't know if it's directly tied to John Lasseter.
Mm-hmm.
And John Lasseter has the vision of the Toy Story world, and when he's not there, when he gets removed out of that equation, did they just re-record it and reanimate stuff and just put it in a position to where it didn't feel like everything else.
Huh.
I mean, he still has credits on the film.
Yeah.
He's still like a story. I think it's a story by credit or something. But it doesn't feel like any of the other Toy Stories.
Hmm.
So
interesting.
Yeah. I don't know.
There's also, there have been articles coming out today about how originally they were saying this would be a $200 million opening, and then they scaled it back to $150 million opening, and it only made $118 million, which was the highest for the Toy Story franchise, but that still was not what they wanted. And I just think it kind of says that people aren't interested in Toy Story anymore. That you've kind of saturated the market.
Yep.
And, you know, screw you. We're not going to go.
I mean, at this point, it feels like they've been doing Toy Story for 25 years.
Yep.
The first one came out in 1995. There was an article about there's a very nice in memory of Don Rickles at the end. Mm-hmm. Of the credits. And there was talk of he died before they started recording this film.
Yes.
And they went back through 25 years worth of material.
Dialogue. Yep.
And I think he only says one or two things in the film.
Mm.
But they wanted to include him. That's fine. But it's still 25 years. The kids that watched the first one now have kids of their own, and those kids don't want to see Toy Story films anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's the parents that went to the originals as kids that are like, oh, it's another Toy Story film. Let's go to that. That's going to be a good thing. And, you know, I've read all this stuff online about how this one was just as emotional as part three. And I was like, no, it's not. Like, what happens at the end gets telegraphed from the very, very beginning. And I'm watching it going, okay, so this is what's going to happen at the end. And you get through the whole journey of the film, and that thing actually happens. And I was like, okay, well, it's not sad. It's just the conclusion of this story that they've been beating into you for an hour and a half.
Right.
Those shots at the end of Toy Story 3 where the toys resign themselves to dying in the fire is nothing that ever gets telegraphed in that film.
Right.
Like, that's just a moment where you're like, holy shit, they're just resign themselves to the fact that their journey is done.
Yep.
And then it's not, but then there's that whole thing of giving the toys to Bonnie and waving goodbye and so long, partner. And that ending was so emotional that I just don't feel like they could have gotten anything close to that in this film. And watching it and having seen the third one and being affected by it and then seeing this one and people being like, oh, that's just as emotional. I was like, no, uh-uh. I don't know what movie you were watching, but that was not the same one that I saw. So I think it's worth seeing at some point for the technical aspect of it.
Sure.
But I totally agree. I don't think at this point people want to see Toy Story movies anymore. And $118 million, some movies go their entire run lives and never see that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that Disney and Pixar has been spoiled by Star Wars and all the Marvel stuff and you know, X-Men, Avengers Endgame comes out, makes $2 billion in like a week.
Mm-hmm.
Anything is going to seem insignificant to that.
Right. Right.
But you just got to kind of take it for what it is and be like, wow, that movie did really well.
Yeah, whereas Dark Phoenix is already getting pulled out of theaters because it's so bad.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I'm looking for 24th. Does it have... Okay, so they don't list a production budget on Toy Story 4 on Box Office Mojo.
Okay.
But the take as of today is almost $121 million.
Wow. And that's not good.
No, they had an opening day of $47 million, a Saturday of $39 million, and a Sunday of $33 million. And apparently
that's not acceptable.
No.
Hmm.
There's a... Well, it doesn't... That, from Friday... to Sunday, there was a 14% drop in the box office, and I'm sure that's what they're looking at.
Yeah.
Which doesn't bode well for next weekend. But they have the re-release.
Well, what else is coming out next week?
They have the re-release of Endgame for next week, as Disney tries to push them past Avatar, and then the week after that is Spider-Man.
Hmm. So Endgame is not really a family movie.
No.
So it could survive another weekend.
See, that's the problem with Disney owning all this stuff, though, is they're not all going to perform the same.
Right.
And you're going to end up in a position where... some movies that you put out don't perform as well, especially when they're stacked on top of each other like this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Disney has a new film almost like every week. And people just get burned out on that shit. And, I mean, Dark Phoenix, they should... Now that... So, I don't know how the split actually happened. I know that Disney now owns all the X-Men stuff, but... I don't know if they were officially... The distributor on here is Fox, so...
Right, right.
I don't know whether or not they consider that a Disney-owned property or not now. But...
Well, Disney does own the property. However, the licensing agreement is through Fox.
Okay. Because I know that when they released their release schedule, when Disney released the release schedule, they'd had all the Fox movies peppered into it. As if they were saying that these are now ours, we will distribute these as, I guess, contracted for or whatever. But, I mean, Dark Phoenix has been out since June 7th, and it's only made $60 million. So $120 million, double that in 3 days, they need to, like, be like, okay, we're doing okay for that.
Right.
Yeah, I heard Dark Phoenix was terrible.
Yeah.
Like nothing like redoing like actual storylines they did like 4 movies ago.
Right. Well, this whole idea that they've got to keep reinventing the franchise, it's like, can't you just come up with original stuff?
Yeah, I mean there's 50 years of comic books to pull from.
Right. And there can be standalone things.
Yep.
But whatever. When I run Hollywood.
I mean, okay, so worldwide, Dark Phoenix made $232 million.
That's... I would be happy with that.
The foreign take was $172 million over the past 3 weeks or whatever it was. So they're not really doing... Like, I know they say that shit flops and... Again, this is another one that doesn't have a production budget. And you usually have to half the production budget for the marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And add that back to it. But I can't imagine that being a $200 million film. Maybe it was. I don't know. Maybe Jennifer Lawrence was, you know, trying to get more money than she's worth.
Yeah, I don't know.
Let me see. I mean, so Toy Story made $120 million here and then $123 million worldwide. So the worldwide total is $244 million. That's not bad.
That's not bad at all for opening weekend.
No.
But we can do better.
Yeah, well, I don't understand that part of the business.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the marketing and the financial stuff just doesn't make any sense to me.
Right.
Because they're really banking on what comes down to 3 days, whether your movie is a failure or not. Where the movie lives on for much longer than 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
I think worldwide box office should count as DVD sales and Blu-ray sales and digital sales to really get an idea of the impact of a movie worldwide instead of 3 days at a movie theater and, oh, this is a failure because it only made $120 million. Which I think when we talked about last year when Solo came out.
Mm-hmm.
And Solo, what was the... I want to pull this up so that I get it right. Opening weekend, it did $84 million. And people said that that was a failure. And then 2 weeks later, Ant-Man and the Wasp opened to $70 million. And they called that a success. And I scratched my head going, why is that? Why is one that way and the other way? Just because one had a budget of $275 million and the other one had a budget of whatever. Like, mm-hmm. You can't call Solo a failure off of 3 days. Because it did make its production budget back worldwide. Which to everybody else is a success story.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't get it.
It's greed.
I guess.
It's what Hollywood's all about. Greed.
But it's greed on a weird thing because $84 million is a failure, but $70 million is a success.
Right.
I don't get that. I don't know. Maybe I'm not meant to get it.
That could be it.
There's no thing for Ant-Man? Oh, there we go. So yeah, that was always weird to me.
Hmm.
And see, they didn't put up the production budget on here for Ant-Man and the Wasp. So you don't know, like, they made $622 million worldwide.
Right.
But, you know, I think everybody can agree that Solo was not marketed well. So,
oh, duh.
So,
yeah.
You know, you can't really say that their marketing budget was huge. But, I don't know. Some bullshit. Some bullshit. So... what else is going on?
Not a lot. It's really slow.
Yeah.
Have you been following the Big Poppy saga since we kind of talked about it a little bit when it happened?
Not since he was shot. We did mention it, that he had been shot in, was it the Dominican Republic?
Yep. So the first week after it happened, they were saying that, oh, he was in a love triangle with the girlfriend of some drug kingpin, and it was a hit, and you know, it was like murder for hire kind of thing. And then the most recent one is that it was mistaken identity. they meant to shoot the guy next to him.
Oh, Jesus.
I was like, alright, this whole thing sounds fishy.
I mean, I don't know what the hell's going on in the Dominican Republic, because, like, American tourists keep dying.
Are dying. I know, right?
It's like 10 in, like, a month or something.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy. There was just another one this past weekend.
Yep.
That's...
They think they're being poisoned. They think it might be something that's being snuck into their minibars.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
all that
weird.
Shit is
it's
crazy.
Scary. It's scary.
Yeah, I don't like. I've never wanted to go to the Dominican, so I don't really see
and
that
now even less
being an issue. But yeah, it would be even less.
Right.
No desire.
None whatsoever.
No.
It's hot. There are bugs. There are Dominicans.
Oh, jeez.
So, yeah.
Somebody doesn't like American tourists, and somebody's making an example.
That's something. I don't know what it is. It's weirdness.
Yeah, so it's 10 Americans, does it say, within how long? This is the one that was told that she was poisoned.
But she's not dead yet.
No, she was the one, I guess they were able to get her back and treat her.
Okay.
The officials in the Dominican Republic have tried to assure travelers that the deaths are isolated events. No, 10 in however long this is.
Yeah, but 10 out of how many thousands of people?
I don't know. It's just a little
fishy. I still would not go.
No, not at all.
I've been to South America, and yeah, I'm good.
So this has been since... Okay, he died on June 17th, June 13th. A lot of these are from New York and New Jersey. That's weird.
Oh, that could be part of it.
Okay, so Vittorio Caruso was 56 from Long Island. He died on June 17th. Joseph Allen was 55 from New Jersey. He died on June 13th. Layla Cox was 53 from New York, died on June 10th. Nathaniel Holmes was 63 and Cynthia Day, 49. They were found dead on May 30th, and they were from Maryland. Miranda Werner was 41 from Pennsylvania. She was May 25th. That dude doesn't have an age or a location. He died at the end of April. Robert Wallace, 67, from California on April 12th. David Harrison, 45, from Maryland. He died at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in July of 2018.
Wow.
So within the last year. But a lot of them were over 40 and from the Northeast. That's weird. I think we cracked this case wide open somehow.
Could be. Wow.
We're hearing Dance Monkey Dance.
Hey. Next up on 2020, how a little podcast found a serial killer.
Yeah.
In the Dominican.
Probably somebody we worked with.
Yeah. Could be.
I'm not saying that we know him. We're just saying.
Just saying, how well do you really know people?
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So have you been watching any of the summer TV?
I've been watching Blood and Treasure.
Okay. Has it gotten any better?
No. It's... The two leads just don't have any chemistry.
Okay.
But there's nothing else on, so, you know, it's not like there's a lot of options. Can watch God Friended Me. Haven't seen that yet. But, I mean, there's nothing on. There's, you know, the shit like Big Brother and what is it, Love Island or whatever.
Right.
The Amazing Race. There was nothing on last week. I watched The Amazing Race. Have you seen the new game show called Holy Moly? It's like mini golf on steroids.
I saw commercials for it. It looked like a combination of Wipeout and mini golf.
Yes.
Like there
That's
was
pretty much what it is.
Trying to go through this, like she hit the ball and then she had to go like to where the ball was, but the thing kept like knocking her off or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, I don't understand what's going on here.
And there's like so many game shows on because they're cheap and don't require script writers.
Well, and then you have things like Pressure Luck, where they just dug out the animation tapes of the whatever those things are, whammies.
And, yes,
and
the,
just
the
play
whammies.
Them on top. And it's like, hey, we just had to recreate the set. Look at this.
It's retro.
Yeah. It always amazes me the people that they get to host those things. Because I think that one is Elizabeth Banks.
Okay.
And it's like, what is going on in your life where you said yes to this?
Easy money.
I guess.
I have two words for you. Regis Philbin. They saw the success of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and they are trying to duplicate it.
I get, but that was a phenomenon.
Fluke?
Yeah, okay. Right. Fluke is another word for that. It was one of those things where, unlike Pressure Luck or some of these other game shows, a family could sit around the TV and watch Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and try to get the questions before the person playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it was almost like a family thing of like, who knows the trivia? And will they reach $1 million and all this other shit? And I just don't think the game shows now have that.
Right.
And I think that was a slice of time that particular show worked. But I don't think bringing all these game shows back now would ever have that same like effect on the American society.
Right.
I don't know.
It's time to think outside the box.
The problem is that nobody can do that anymore.
Right.
I really feel like it's just people sitting around a table going, what was popular in 1986?
Which rights are coming available for free?
Yeah, exactly.
Or for, you know, fire sale.
I mean, and it is almost like exclusively like reality television now.
Yeah.
Because there's American Ninja Warrior on tonight, The Bachelorette. 2 hours of The Bachelorette. Really?
Yep.
Beat Shazam. Whatever that is.
That's a music show with Jamie Foxx. Where you gotta name the tune before Shazam does.
Okay.
The app.
I mean, the only thing that's playing tonight that I have any interest in is the Penn & Teller show.
Mm-hmm.
And that at least, they call it a game show, but it really is just showcasing magicians.
Yeah.
And since I like magic, you know, that's at least something to watch.
Sure. I would agree.
But other than that, like...
No, I have been watching a new series. I think it's on Lifetime. It's called American Princess.
Okay.
And it's about a New York socialite who escapes to a Renaissance fair after she catches her fiancé cheating on their wedding day.
Is this a reality show?
No, this is a scripted show.
Okay.
And so it's written by somebody I used to work with years and years ago, who's actually married to the guy who played Kripke on Big Bang.
Oh, okay.
And this is from her years on the Ren Faire circuit, and I see so many people I know in this thing. And it's funny because it's all about the culture of the Ren Faire and the hierarchy of, you know, who's in charge versus, you know, the person who's in charge of the Ren Faire isn't really in charge of the Ren Faire because the woman who plays the queen is, because she's been doing it for 25 years.
Okay.
And I happen to know somebody who has been doing that and playing the exact same queen. Right. So it's kind of, it's funny.
What's your friend's first name?
Jamie.
Okay.
She's the executive producer.
Oh, created by. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So that's kind of fun, escapist.
Oh, she was in Glow, too.
Oh, was she? Episode. Well, and she was also on The Good Place, the episode with the angry chef, where they're the restaurant where the floor opens up to the hell pit.
Right.
And there's a chef character who's always screaming at the top of her voice. So you know, it's like, oh, it's she's mad. It's like, well, but she's going, you know, screaming, "Have a nice day!" Anyway, and she's done a few things like that.
She was also in Orange is the New Black.
Yes. See, people who leave the place you once worked at do go on to good things. Not all of them.
No. Okay.
But some.
I don't recognize her from Orange is the New Black, and I'm looking at a picture from the TV show, but...
She's really good at playing different characters and not looking like herself.
Yeah, like I'm looking at one like where she's at like guess she was in the movie Spy.
Okay.
With
Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah. And there's a like a red carpet picture of her there, and she looks nothing like she did in Orange is the New Black.
No, not at all.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, I hope it takes off. What channel is it on?
I want to say it's on Lifeline. Lifetime.
Oh, Lifetime. Okay.
Yeah.
She's done a bunch of stuff that I've watched that I probably never even realized it was her.
That's how good she is.
Oh, she was in the all-female Ghostbusters. I got to take away some points. Eek.
Yeah, and... The episode titles are amusing.
Are they?
Yeah. After the first one, which was called Pilot, episode two was called Just Boob Stuff. And this last episode they did was all about one of the 13-year-old daughters of Renfair people who had her first period.
Dope.
And they throw her a period party to make her feel special. And it does not go well.
Like a Renfair period party?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. There was like a vagina pinata.
Okay.
So, you know, there's this scene with people whacking a vagina with a stick and...
Wait, there's characters named Stick and Shart?
Yes. They're mudbeggers.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes. Is it Shart O'Malley? Or something like that?
Shart O'Belly.
A Shark O'Belly, that's it.
Oh, and he was in Orange is the New Black, too.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, he played like the repair guy in the prison.
Okay. And the guy who is kind of the male lead was Jimmy on Raising Hope.
Okay.
It took me a while to realize that.
Okay.
But yeah, it's amusing. It's funny.
Wow. I need to get into more comedy stuff. I feel like I don't watch enough of that. Although, my problem is, like, people have said, oh, watch this show, it's really funny, and I don't laugh at it.
And it's not funny, yeah.
Yeah, so... Like, as soon as I hear comedy, I'm always, like, gun-shy. And I'll just go back to, like, sci-fi and adventure shit. And I just feel like I need to make more of an effort to actually, like, watch more comedy. I think it would do me some good.
Okay.
It would brighten my soul. I don't have a soul, but whatever.
Yes.
I will have to look up this show and watch it.
It's amusing. You will enjoy it.
Okay. I just have to figure out where I can watch it, I guess. Because I don't know if I have Lifetime. Might be a VPN type situation.
Oh, could be.
American Princess Lifetime. Okay, I'll have to see if I have Lifetime. I don't know if that's in my Sling TV lineup. There we go. Let's see. Oh, is Lifetime the only one that's not on here? What are you doing over there?
Excuse me?
What are you doing?
I'm popping bubble wrap. Oh.
I'm like, what is that noise? It's looking like it might be a VPN thing.
There you go.
Although, to be fair, like, I haven't turned on Sling in quite a while, so paying money for nothing.
Getting your chicks for free?
Yep. Have you ever read the lyrics to that song? Like, really sat down and read them?
No, I have a life.
Terrible fucking song.
It is, but it was the anthem of the MTV generation.
I know, isn't that sad?
Yes.
Anywho. All right, you got anything else for this week?
No.
No?
No.
All right. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com.
Uh-huh.
You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. Let us know you're listening. Until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
Yeah, my wife was on her lady time while we were at the Renaissance Fair, and she told me she was craving chocolate. I asked her if the craving was period specific.